Okay, we have Mark 13, 24 to 31. Paul, I understand you gave a great performance last week here. I'm sorry, I forgot about this completely when I was over in England. And Andy kind of related to me. You're a very good job on this. Now, in chapter 13, which is this famous chapter paralleled in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21, we have these so-called end-of-the-world kind of scenes. But you'll notice how it started in 13, verses 1 and 2, with the disciples sitting opposite the temple and asking about it and so forth. And in verse 3, it talks about while he was sitting on the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Then Peter and James and John and Andrew ask him about the signs and so forth. And you'll notice that in verses, you had this last week, in verses 9 through 13, it talks about how people's love would grow cold and so forth. Then they skip verse 14, and that has that interesting verse, which is only in Mark. When you see the abomination of desolation standing. And what's interesting is that heste kata is actually an improper form, because top delegma is a neuter singular, and heste kata is either a neuter plural or a masculine singular accusative. So if it's a masculine singular accusative, then the abomination of desolation is a person. I'm not sure what would happen if you had a neuter there, but that is an interesting point, that that does not agree grammatically, and most people don't realize that because they see the ending of bdelegma, but that's the ma-matas pattern, like soma, somatas. Then in verse 14 it says, where it is not possible, lawful, let the reader understand, ha anagenoskon noaito. Now, what is that? Is that the reader of the book, privately? Is that the reader reading to the community at large, and it's kind of a private word to him? Or is it, you know, in some way something that was supposed to be read out to the whole community? Then it talks about the people in Judea fleeing and so forth. And 18 and following, pray that it not be in winter and so forth. And then the very sort of terrifying words in verse 20 right before our text. And if the Lord had not shortened the days, this is a contrary to fact conditional sentence, past contrary to fact. If he had not shortened the days, all flesh, meaning any flesh, would not be saved or would not have been saved. That's all worded in kind of a prophetic past or something like that. But on account of the elect ones, whom ex electa, oh, that's great, isn't that nice middle there? Whom he selected for himself, he shortened the days. All right, now 21 is our verse. And then if somebody says to you guys, Milwaukee plural, behold, here is the Christ, the anointed one. Behold there, look here, look there. Me pistoiata, negative imperative, present stem. Either never believe or stop believing, or what I think it probably is emphatic with the present stem. Don't believe, just don't believe it. For egerthesontai, that's probably an intransitive, passive used in an active intransitive sense. Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 24, section D. Pseudo-Christs will arise and pseudo-prophets, and they will give signs and wonders, pros ta apoplanon, in order to deceive away, in order to actually, notice that's a present tense infinitive, apoplanon is present infinitive, always get your antennae up when it's not an aorist, in order to actually deceive, or here's another possibility, in order to try to deceive, use that as a connative, in order to try to deceive, if possible, the elect. But you guys, humais, see, watch, look. I have told you all things, and it is already in your ears. Note that's perfect there, pro aire ka. But in those days, after that thlipsis, affliction, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its rays, light, and the stars will be falling from heaven. Esontai goes with peeptuntes as a periphrastic, and you do get future periphrastics emphasizing the future continuous activity, and the powers which are in the heavens will be shaken. And then, and now we get into the material that Paul was talking about, and then they will see the Son of Man coming. Erchomenon is a supplementary participle. It's in predicate position and indicates the object and the action both as the object of the verb. See the Son of Man coming, not the Son of Man while he is coming. See the Son of Man coming in the clouds or on clouds with power, much power, and glory. And probably the poleis is dropped in between, Greek often does this, to modify both ways. So it'd be much power and much glory. Greek tends not to do this, which is what we would tend to do, dunamis kai doxes poleis. It tends to put the adjective first. And then he will send tous angelus, the messengers, the angels, the messengers. Let's just translate that as messengers or angelus for a second. And epi synaxai, they will synago together at one place, the elect, his elect, from the four winds, from the top of the earth until the top or point of the heaven. Now, at this point, I just want to stop and say it's natural for us to be thinking about this in terms of the second coming. But it's more than passing strange that Jesus uses this particular verse from Joel 2, which is also used in Acts 2. And in Acts 2, it is said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet. Well, I think that we have at least got to see some sort of fulfillment here of this eschatological vision already in Jesus's own death and resurrection. And you know, and this is why I went back and made reference to some of that material from last week, what about verses 9 to 13? Did we see people betraying each other in that particular story? Did we see people denying the gospel? You bet. You saw it right in Peter. In other words, this is already starting. It's already being implemented in the very passion of our Lord. These very things. And of course, the signs in the heaven at the crucifixion, and you get that referencing Amos and so forth with the sun being darkened. I think that in verse 27, with sending out the tous angelus, you'll notice that there was the reference, this was in last time's material in verse 10, There's the reference that unto all the nations first it is necessary that the gospel be preached. Well, you certainly have the disciples being sent out even in this gospel as apostles, and they are called apostles when they are sent out. So you see some of this coming to pass already. Let's go to 28. And from the fig, learn the parable. Now, here's a good example of how parabole doesn't mean an earthly story with a heavenly meaning necessarily. In other words, it's something that tells a truth beyond its literal significance. And so you can call things parabole. By the way, a third thing that's called a parabole in the New Testament is a saying, like a physician heal thyself. That's called a parabole too. So it's a some kind of a thing that is revelatory. When already, just now, hoklatos autes, its branch, twig, haplos genetai, when it becomes tender, and ekphuē, and begins to produce forth in a living way. Notice I use the word begin there because we got the present stem, and begins to produce its phyla. Phyla, that's from tophylon, which means leaf. It's always plural, always plural. Ta phyla. And when it puts out its branches, why are you futzing with this? Yes, you were standing right next to it. Yes, Taylor, right, okay. Okay. No, ginoskete, note the emphasis there. No, that near is the summer. You know. Well, actually, it could be imperative, or it could be indicative. Probably here it's indicative. You know that it is near. 29, houtos. So, also you skies. When you see tauta genomena. Now, that's genomena. That is another one of those supplementary participles. When you see these things happening, then either know or you know that near it is, or he is, epithyrais, at the doors. Next part, 30. Truly I say to you, ume plus the aorist subjunctive, emphatic denial. This generation shall surely not par elthe pass away. Remember, par erchomai means either pass away or pass by on the side. Until who, the time when, kind of a genitive there reflecting a chronu. Tauta panta genetai, all these things take place. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words shall surely not pass away. Now here you have ume plus the future indicative, and that's the alternative. Now I want you to notice in verse 30 that the tauta panta has an interesting difficulty of referent. That is to say, we know what it means. It means all these things. The question is, what's it referring to? What are all these things? Are all these things that they all are accomplished? Are all these things that they are all accomplished without remainder? I've already talked about them being initiated. Are all these things possibly the signs? He has just, if you turn back to previous page, he's just talked in 28 and 29 about the signs happening and that the signs will be there for all to see. So it is possible that all these things taking place would be, there will be signs, there will be deceptions, there will be the pseudo-Christ coming, and there will be all of the indications. You kind of have to make an exegetical decision on that. It's always been interesting to me that basically a passage like this was not, so to speak, excised by the church. I mean, there is no You don't have any evidence that the entire verse 30 drops out of a manuscript or something like that as being a difficulty. The church always was able to look this passage full in the face. I would like to just look at verse 32, which is one verse after our pericope. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, except the Father. Now, that's a very interesting passage, given the fact that he seems pretty definite about all these things taking place. It's one of the reasons I think all these things is either all the signs I've talked about, or that these things take place in kind of this preliminary way and then are fulfilled without remainder at the end of time. Okay, well, we're losing our audience here. But okay, go ahead. Here. Oh, well, that's another thing. See, now you could, some people take this generation as a kind of people, all right? Like the generation of the righteous, you know, something like that. I think it just means this generation in kind of a literal sense. And so what's going to happen is if you don't take the passage to mean these people around will not die until the end of the world comes in its finality. You know, if you don't take it to mean that and then Jesus was wrong, then you either have to fiddle on all these things or on this generation. You know, you got to do some work on one or the other. Yeah.
And who was it that had the take it at its surface meaning and Jesus was wrong? Who was that? Albert Schweitzer?
That was Schweitzer, yeah. Albert Schweitzer, right. Right. I mean, that is a view, but it doesn't really ring true, to be honest with you, in a reading of Mark, that Jesus is all of a sudden going along and doing this, and he's wrong, because every single thing that happens in this book always comes true with him. So, I mean, even on from a literary point of view, I don't think it's a very satisfactory thing to think, well, Jesus thought it was coming, and he was just wrong about it. Oh, yeah. Bill. Probably not, because it's aorist. It's not genetai, it's genetai. Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks very much.